Hi there, this is Alan Tudyk. I'm Wash. And at times I will wash myself just when I get dirty. This is Hypeable Podcast. Talk about Firefly, why don't you?
Welcome, everybody, back to Rewatchable, a podcast brought to you from the folks at Hypeable.com. That's Hypable.com. We are a general news and entertainment site, and right now we are talking about our podcast, Rewatchable, where we happen to rewatch some of our very favorite television series that went off the air way too soon. And right now we are just about to wrap up one of our very favorite series, and that is Joss Whedon's Firefly. We're on the last episode of the TV series right now, and then for our final Firefly coverage, we'll be watching the Serenity movie. So before we get into the final episode of the original TV series, which was called Objects in Space, just want to give a brief little recap on how you can get in touch with us. You can send us an email at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can send us a tweet at re_watchable. Or you can post over on the podcast section on Hypeable.com, and we love to get your feedback, so please do get in touch. I am Laura, and I am joined on the podcast today by Kyle, Kristen, and Caitlin. I think that's the first time I've gotten all the K names right. This is like, like this is the hardest podcast ever with all the K names. It's like, like so. I think it's the first time I've gotten everybody right the first take. It's pretty amazing. So let's recap briefly Objects in Space, what it was all about. Basically, the episode takes place entirely on Serenity. It's a little unusual in that we don't always have episodes that are totally within just the ship. But the episode is entitled Objects in Space, and you can see how River is really struggling to fit in on the ship, that she's wandering around from person to person and overhearing their thoughts, whether it's ESP or it's a hallucination, whether it's just sensitivity, whatever it is, she's seeing thoughts of the different crew members that wouldn't necessarily be vocalized by them right in front of her. They're not very, like, what we could say, you know, politically correct, sensitive opinions that are being articulated there that she hears. And she gets herself into trouble by picking up a gun that unfortunately in some way Jane had left vulnerable. She gets a gun, she gets disarmed, and as they're discussing, you know, is River a danger to herself or others, Kaylee comes forth with the information that a couple episodes ago, River did in fact pick up a gun and was ridiculously deadly accurate with that gun. So they're realizing that River is probably more of a threat than any of them potentially realized before this point. Bring into this entire mix is the character of Jubal Early, who is a bounty hunter who learned about the TAMs and has been tracking them down since the aerial heist. And he has in fact found them, and he wants to bring River back to collect his reward, and it seems like he is fairly ruthless and doesn't much care who he hurts in order to get River. What he really needs is River to get his reward. And then we basically have River turning the table on him and being the one who really saves the day, which is a little bit different than her story has been thus far. So let's talk about some of our reactions here to the episode. Kyle, why don't we start off with you as our resident newbie? What did you think about this episode?
I really liked it. I thought it was a great episode. It was really awesome how River managed to like sneak on top and like pretend to be Serenity. I thought that was awesome. I was like, wait, how? What? What's going on? But the only thing I didn't like about the episode is that it didn't have that finale feel. You know, like it didn't feel like a wrap up at all. And like, I feel bad for the people who were watching this series and then got that episode as their last episode, because there's still plenty of stuff that you're like, wait, what? What's going on? And so I'm really excited for the movie to clear a lot of those questions up.
Yeah, definitely. I totally know what you feel about that. Kristen or Caitlin, how about you?
I definitely loved this episode. I thought it was a lot of fun, and it was nice to see River kind of take a little bit of control and like try to help the crew get out of whatever predicament they were in. And just seeing her kind of run the show for a little bit was really a lot of fun. And I loved at the end, like getting to see her and Mal kind of have a moment, since he's kind of been sketchy about her and, you know, her threat to the crew and all of that for quite a while. So it was nice to see them kind of have a little moment too. So I loved it.
Yeah, I really like this episode, not looking at it as any kind of finale, but just as a general episode, because there's such a heavy focus on the Tams and their sibling relationship, which is my favorite part of the show. So I love that, seeing how far Simon and River go for each other to protect each other. But Kyle is absolutely right that when you think of this as a finale, it's so underwhelming because it just kind of is there.
Yeah, I mean, it's only, you know, it's, you're talking about, you know, the 14th episode in a season. You know, a lot of seasons when they get a full order, it's like somewhere between 23 and 26 episodes, depending upon, you know, what network it is that's picked up the series. And we're talking about a 14 series of episodes here. So it's not even hardly enough to really build story arc and everything. And then to be let down, like you said, it doesn't really at all have that feeling of even mid-season climax to it at all. It really doesn't, which is unfortunate. But I do agree with you. The episode in of itself is a really cool episode, specifically, I think, to get to see River take some ownership and responsibility and not being totally the crazy girl. Like, she's really, really in control of what goes on. And she's, you know, she's got everybody working for her. I love how she's got, you know, Mal and Kaylee, you know, working for her in her little plot to get, you know, Early off the ship. And she has everybody else on lockdown. I love how she says, no guns. And there's Zoe holding her gun. Like, I just want to shoot somebody. Just let me shoot somebody. So I think it's really cool.
I also really, really loved how I'm pretty sure Simon started to believe that she had become one with the ship. Like, yes. The look on his face as she's describing this to this guy, I think he sort of believed her for a second there. Like, did you really? Like, what the hell? What did they do to you? Like, and so just seeing that, even Simon believing her was just great. It's just so great. It proves just how great a character River really is.
Yeah, I mean, it is hilarious. I love that moment, too, where Early's going, River? Serenity? like it's like, yes, she has multiple personality distorters. You know, start calling her another name. Yeah, I love it. It's hilarious.
Oh, yeah, I loved it when he called her Serenity. Like, he finally gave in. Like, oh, yeah, of course, that's who you are. So great.
So let's start talking about where this episode kicks off. So this episode kicks off with River wandering the ships, and she's not hearing the ships, it's one ship. So River is wandering the ship, and she's overhearing these conversations or interactions she's overseeing that people are having. And then in glimpsing what she's glimpsing, she's hearing another conversation that's not being like verbally articulated. It's what they're thinking. So, of all the different people that she interacted with, is there anybody whose conversation either kind of struck you particularly, or you thought was really interesting what they said? Any one of those that really sticks out in your mind?
Shepherd Book was just as evil as I thought he was. At least, according to River.
I knew that was coming. Yeah, Book was a little, like... snarly evil there, like really caricature-y evil there, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really creepy. I was like, oh, I don't like you. I really don't like you.
So here's a question, because he was talking about, I don't really care if you're innocent or not, and he was like, ha ha ha, like snarly. Do you think he was talking about Jane or River?
I think Jane. Because wasn't he was having a conversation with Jane, and I was sort of under the impression that none of these people actually saw her.
Yeah, I would agree with you, too. I don't really think, or if they did, it was just peripheral. That would be my impression.
Right. Like, none of them really knew she was there. They weren't paying attention to her, so I just assumed that he was talking about Jane. I also loved the Wash and Zoe bit where she didn't actually hear thoughts. It's like she just felt their emotions and she was like, you know, like grasped her arm. And like, it was just really different because everyone else, it was a distinct thought that she kind of intercepted. And with them, it was just the feeling and the emotions that they were going through.
Yeah, for me, Book's reaction sticks out and almost makes me think that she wasn't really actually hearing specific thoughts, that she might have even been projecting her interpretation onto them in that moment, because that just, that does not strike me with how I've read Book for the entire series. Sorry, Kyle, but that's not how I've read Book, so it really took me off guard.
Yeah, I think that is, it's funny. I think Book's reaction is one that most people do not read Book as like very, very evil. So people do, generally speaking, find Book's reaction really odd. The one that I think most people find completely validating is Simon's reaction. How Simon kind of, I mean, he'd never say it out loud, but I think there is some part of him deep down that resents the fact that he had to give up everything in his very comfortable way of life, everything that he had kind of planned for himself as being the successful surgeon, and he had to give all of that up. And it was, I thought it was really interesting to finally hear that articulated from Simon, because you could, I think, probably surmise it otherwise, but to actually hear him say it was very different. What about Mal and Aura? I know I'm the little Mal and Aura fangirl. Wasn't that interesting, like with Mal and Inara? Like, you could just tell, like, both of them are, like, tap dancing around the conversation. And you're like, just admit it. Just admit it, you two morons. And they, like, will not have the conversation with each other, which is so annoying.
Yeah, they still, it's ridiculous. They kind of remind me of grade school girls and boys that are, you know, punching each other on the playground and then running away and they won't tell each other. That's exactly how they act, and it just cracks me up.
Yeah, it reminds me of Friends with Ross and Rachel. I'm like, just come on. Like, you know you're going to end up together. Just stop it.
That is so true. They really are like the Ross and Rachel of the Skate Scout Boys. Yes, on a certain level, you are so right. That is who they are. Oh my gosh, I love that. I love that comparison.
So, just shut up and kiss already. We get it.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly, exactly, right? Okay, so we get these, you know, images of everything. So definitely we understand how River could be feeling like a little bit unloved after going through that entire scenario of feeling all of that. And then on top of that, there's, you know, she ends up disarmed in the cargo bay area, and she ends up telling Mal something along the lines of like she hears but she doesn't comprehend. You know, like she's getting part of why it's dangerous and no guns and everything. And then she's overhearing their discussion in the kitchen about what, you know, what to do with her and how dangerous is dangerous. And the one person who finally comes forward with her information is Kaylee. Why do you think Kaylee finally spoke up about what happened and how deadly accurate River was with that firearm? What do you think was the tipping point here for her to talk about it?
I think it's just because they were all saying how she's really harmless and like she can't handle a gun and she like we shouldn't really have to worry about her because like she's never fired a gun before and she it'll be fine. And then she's like, no, she has, and she's really good at it. So like she had to tell them.
I almost think they were more worried about River handling the gun because they thought she had never handled one, and they were worried about what could happen to all of them with someone just kind of crazy, because she, you know, she doesn't exactly act like she has all of her wits about her, running around, you know, brandishing a gun at everybody. And so I think Kaylee thought she might have been like calming the situation, like she does know what she's doing, guys, and you know she might be a little crazy, but I don't think River would ever hurt us. Whereas a lot of them took that as, okay, she knows how to fire a gun, great, that's even worse.
I also felt like for Kaylee it was a little bit of flashback there too, because if you think about it, walking into the cargo hold like that is where she got shot the last time, and there's River just kind of you know, brandishing that gun around. And at one point is like, they're all yelling, you know, calm down, don't do anything. She even says Kaylee at one point, and it, like, you can see it kind of rivet Kaylee's face. You know, it's got to definitely have brought up some, you know, not pleasant memories for her. I mean, and Mal also ends up saying, you know, what's to stop her, you know, if crazy is crazy, what's to stop her from shooting, you know, even her own brother as the doctor, like, she, you know, how focused, you know, will she be? So it's definitely a concern of theirs as to, you know, what to do with her. And the fact that she ends up, as Kaylee describes, being this amazing marksman that's not even like Mal or not even like Jane is pretty huge. And she describes it as like not even like a person. What's interesting is before they can discuss this, you know, scenario more, which Ritter has completely overheard because she's up above them listening in, they basically all go to bed. And then obviously the events of Jubal Early just, you know, kick things off in an entirely different direction. But if they had slept on it and woken up the next morning without all the interruption from Jubal Early, do you think there would be a concerted talk of River needs to get off the ship, or we need to keep Liver Rock locked up in her cabin? Or what do you think the outcome might have been if Jubal Early had not, you know, walked on the boat and disrupted everything?
I can't see them having kicked her off, because over, you know, the course of what we've seen, she's kind of gotten her place on there. And Simon's really, you know, gotten into a really important spot on the ship. And if River goes, then Simon would go, and they need their doctor, and he's really earned his place. So I have a hard time seeing them saying that she needs to get off, but I could have imagined there being more discussions of keeping weapons away from her, and maybe she needs to spend more time in her cabin than she has been already.
I could totally also see them discussing some sort of like sedative or something if, you know, she gets into a big fit again, or if something happens and, you know, she needs to be restrained. I could see them having that conversation, and I was hoping it wouldn't go there, so I'm glad it didn't. But yeah, I can definitely see them thinking about like restraining her in her cabin too, and like keeping somebody on watch, on river watch, basically, to make sure that she isn't getting into things she shouldn't be.
I was thinking that maybe they would have done like a buddy system with River, because she's super smart. I mean, that's, to me, like, is something that they haven't really taken advantage of yet, because, I mean, obviously she's been crazy or like barely competent, but Simon has brought up several times how River is this complete super smart genius, and we do definitely see that in the episode. I mean, she totally figures out how to get into a spacesuit, leave Serenity, get into the other ship, you monkey with the controls, take over the comm system. I mean, so clearly that's a fairly high skill set. So I always wondered, like, why they didn't just assign her, like, a buddy system on the ship, like, make her Kaylee's pal or something, and Kaylee could teach her about the engine room, or, I don't know, it just seemed to me like they probably could have come up with something for River to do, particularly because she's so smart, so teach her something. It seems like that might have been an option, too.
Plus, then you'd have a double for, I mean, she could probably learn any and all jobs on that ship, and then you'd have a double for all of the positions. So if something happens to Wash, she could probably fly her. Like, she could probably fly Serenity without too much of an issue. So, I mean, it would have been smart. I think you're right. I think it would have been a really great idea to kind of teach her things rather than just try and control her all the time.
Right, or like think about how many times like Mal needs more stuff out of the engine room, and Kaylee gets a second hand down there, and half she's like, no, look over there, I'm pointing at this, look where I'm pointing. You know, have somebody down there who actually, you know, knows and could be some degree of helpful would be really cool. So, you know, but obviously we don't get there because Early walks in, well, or jumps in, whatever you want to call it, on the situation. And what's really interesting is that Early comes in, and he definitely picks off certain people first. Like, he takes out what I would say is the biggest threat level first. Like, he realizes that there's a good degree of crew that's just in their bunks. Well, lock them off. That's the easiest thing in the world to do that. And the people who are out and available at that point are Mal and Book. And then Simon is like in a slightly different area too. So he just takes out his threats really quickly, which are clearly Mal and Book. And then he goes right for Simon. So he and Simon are, you know, wandering around together, and definitely their discussion, or actually, no, let me backtrack that. Before he gets to Simon, he gets to Kaylee, and it's definitely a very different approach to Kaylee than it was Mal and Book. I mean, Mal and Book, he just was like, yep, threat, knock him unconscious. But he's certainly a lot more psychologically cruel to Kaylee than he is to Mal or to Book. Anybody have any theories as to why he was just really horrible to Kaylee as versus to just knocking her out?
The scene bothers the hell out of me. Like,
I hate him so much in this scene.
Yeah, but, super creeper.
Because it's not just a threat of violence against a woman, it's a threat of sexual violence, and that disturbs me so much.
Which it's like if
obviously if, the point, but
It's like the best way to get someone to hate someone is try to make them a rapist, and you're just like, oh god, I think he's one of my least favorite villains of all. Like, I think, like, I literally think he may be one of the characters that I hate the most just in all of television, just because he's so creepy and horrible and blech.
Yeah, I mean, part of what I was thinking, too, is that before he broke in, he was kind of observing and listening in as to what was going on, and he could see relationships. I mean, I think you could pretty much in quick order surmise that you were not going to be able to negotiate with Mal. Like, you had to take out Mal. And you had Zoe and Wash, and you had Jane, who were just sound asleep. Well, the you know, easiest thing to do with them is just freaking lock them in. I mean, you know, why get complicated? Just lock them up. And that's what the guy did. You know, Book he knocks out, but I feel like Kaylee, he kind of knows Simon. Is Simon going to willingly give up his sister? No. But I think he probably observed enough to figure out that there is something going on between Simon and Kaylee, and that he might have been able to use Kaylee as a weapon against Simon, because clearly that's a weak point. So I was wondering if maybe that was part of his intention there.
Well, he could have threatened to do something to Kaylee to Simon without having to threaten Kaylee with it, because I'm sure she would have cooperated if he had just threatened her with a gun, because that is scary enough, and she has been shot, so I'm sure she would have calm down. And he could have said, you know, I'll spend some time with the cute mechanic to Simon anyway, but that was so unnecessary to do that to Kaylee.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like she was the one that he felt like if he had to manipulate somebody, like if things went badly, like she would have been the easiest one on the crew to manipulate to get him, you know, get her to do what he wanted if, you know, he needed another set of hands there for some reason. So then he ends up with Simon, and the two of them start looking for River around the ship, and they end up at one point in Inara's shuttle. I mean, Inara isn't really that much in this episode at all. And he gets into Inara's shuttle, quickly determines that River is not hiding out with Inara, and then Inara tries to, you know, talk him out of, you know, doing what he's doing, and he slaps Inara. Did that really, like, surprise you also about how Inara just got hit like that so quickly?
It just really confused me, because you see this scene with Kaylee where he just talks to her and scares the crap out of her with nothing but the words he's saying. Like, he doesn't have to really even, like, I mean, he's threatening her, but he's not, like, physically threatening her, which he could have done easily. He could have overpowered her without, you know, in the blink of an eye. And so it just really shocked me how physical he got with Inara, how quickly. Like, she'd barely said anything, and all of a sudden he just slaps her across the face and walks out. And I was like, this guy is really, like, erratic, and there's no telling how he's going to handle anything. So that was pretty much what I got from that, is that this guy is unpredictable.
Yeah, the other thing I got from it, too, is that Inara is such a good reader of people. Like, we talk about how the companions, you know what is the right perfect thing to say, and they assess their clientele, and they have all that training and everything. And for her to have misread him for that was the angle to go on and to suddenly get backhanded like that. I mean, that means I think this guy is definitely a pro with many different faces, that Inara could have been fooled so easily that that was not the way to go with this guy. And he was even said, you know, don't ever try to get in my head. I mean, the fact that he could just snap like that and fool her so quickly, I thought that was very telling on how completely unpredictable this guy is.
Something that really struck me about that too, no pun intended, was, you know, the way he hits her with the backhand, it just seemed like very what you would expect out of domestic violence. So right away, he's gone from threatening sexual violence against Kaylee to slapping Inara. And there's just a lot of violence against women from this guy. It's scary.
Yeah. And River apparently picks up on it, obviously, because she's able to read people in mind and she's in his ship. So I guess she's picking up some vibes from his personal belongings in his ship too. And she's talking about how even his mother knew that he wasn't right and that she couldn't wait until he got, you know, went away, and that there were like incidents like with pets and stuff in the neighborhood when he was growing up. It was just like, oh God. I mean, I think it definitely does serve a certain purpose, so that when in the end Mal just chucks him into space, we don't question the fact that Mal just murdered this guy. You know, I think we've all pretty much established that he is somebody who's not really redeemable at all, and, you know, really did deserve just to get chucked off the spacecraft like that. So why don't we get into some of the other things in there? I know, so that we get end up with this scene with Early and Simon in, you know, eventually they end up in the cockpit, and we end up with the voice of River, and there's Simon looking fairly amused in what is a tense situation. How did we like Simon in this entire situation? I mean, I think he's definitely evolved since we first saw him.
So sexy. Just his, that's the way I want my man to react to a situation, and he did it perfectly. No, but like in all seriousness, I think he did a great job, because like he wasn't scared, and that's what I like about it. He was just like, well, this is interesting, and he even like takes a seat down on like a control panel or whatever. He's just like, I don't know. I think it's great that he showed so much confidence that he wasn't going to shoot him in the head, because if he was, he would have done it by now.
I just love how Simon kept his cool. Like, early in the season, when they got into trouble, he kind of lost his head and, you know, he'd get a little twitchy and wouldn't know what to do and how he could help. And in this entire situation, he just keeps his cool and goes with the flow. And I love his just whole demeanor with this really super creepy guy, even when he's threatening, you know, Kaylee and threatening River and talking about taking River away. Like, he still manages to just, you know, stay calm and kind of let River run the show, who is absolutely brilliant in the entire thing. I just love her. But yeah, no, I really, really loved Simon this up.
I think Mal's been rubbing off on him with the way he kind of is very snarky at times in response, like when he's telling, you know, Early is telling him to be his advocate to River. You know, he's like, you know, we're becoming fast friends. Like, he's very snarky in the situation. And I think he's been spending a lot of time around Mal, and it shows.
Yeah, there definitely is a certain Mal swagger to him with this. I mean, even the point where he's like, yeah, he's not putting the gun down. I mean, and it's not, and it is, he's just like, it's a swagger and a snark that's going along with it. He's like, yeah, I don't know where River is. Uh-huh. What you gonna do about it? Like, he's just like cocky almost in the whole thing, which is really very different. So it ends up that we find out eventually that River is, you know, on Jubilee's early ship. And she's managed to get in touch by whatever she's done with the comm system. She can clearly talk to crew members without it broadcasting into the cockpit. So Early doesn't have any clue that she's talking to all these people as individuals. And she sets different people into motion. And she specifically goes to Mal and Kaylee to get her little plan to work. Why do you think she picked Mal and Kaylee as the people that she would set into motion? Was it just convenience, or was it that there was more of a reason behind those two?
I definitely think she wanted to help Kaylee kind of get back at this guy. Because my guess is that she, whether she saw the whole conversation or not, she knew what this guy did to Kaylee, like freaked her out. And so I think River wanted to help Kaylee, like save herself and then be a part of this to help save everyone else and get this guy off the ship. As far as the mouthing goes, I think she just knew that he would be the one, you know, that she could trust to make the decision to get rid of this guy or not. Like, I think she just kind of knew if I have him do it, it'll work. And, you know, she couldn't have asked Simon to do something like that. I don't think Simon could have done it. So it was definitely, I think she had a specific reason for picking those two.
I think it's people who she could trust to keep their head, because as we saw, Zoe wanted to go off and just shoot people. And I think she could trust Mal to keep his head and do what he needed to do, and Kaylee to be focused on the task that she had given her. So they were probably the most level-headed choices available, too.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way she would have picked Jane, because Jane's just, I mean, he was asleep the entire time, and then when he thought he woke up, he's like, nope, I'm going to use this blanket for my, this towel or a sheet for my blanket. And then Mal, or not Mal, Zoe and Wash probably would have definitely gone in all guns blazing. And that's not what she wanted. She wanted to lure him out to the ship. And I feel like she picked the right people for that.
Yeah. And Book is also like very, very unconscious still at this point too. So there's not, I don't think he would have been a successful aide at that point at all. Like, you know, clearly Mal recovered more quickly, and I do like Mal coming to, and he's kindly befuddled, going like, okay, so River, you're my ship, and somebody tell me what's going on. I really, you know, I liked that Mal was like, is this all a dream or what is this,
right? Like, right, it's just like, I have a concussion, what the hell. Yeah. Plus we all know she can't trust Book because of his hair, so
there you go. Okay, so they end up doing the that good old switcheroo between, you know, he finally realizes she's, you know, on his ship, and she's like, you know, okay, you know, come and get me. And before she does, she has this speech about, you know, how, you know, no, she'll just give herself up. She's the bounty. And she, you know, she knows, you know, she's been something of, I guess I'm going to say a burden, because I don't know what other word to use, and how she's been viewed on that ship. And you can see it reading on everybody's face as River is kind of talking about what she's been. What did you think of that speech where she's finally like saying, yeah, like, I know I've been the crazy person. I know I've been the one you can't trust. Do you think there's one person that hits home with more than others, maybe?
Probably Simon, because he probably would have the most guilt out of making her feel like she was a burden, especially to him. But, you know, they all feel, I think, a little guilty that she had clearly overheard them talking about her. But I think Simon, who has the greatest connection to her, feels the worst about it. And obviously he acts on it.
Yeah, I agree. I also think Kaylee second most, just because she feels so guilty for being so scared of her all the time. And so she's just, when she says that, she's like, oh, well, dang it. That's not what I meant, you know?
Right. You can even see a touch like Zoe and Wash too, who I feel like were kind of her advocates in the initial conversation. You know, I felt like they were, like, if you had to pick who at that dinner table was a little more proactively on her side, like, they were not, you know, ready to jump on the crazy bandwagon. I mean, even Wash especially too, but I felt like you definitely got a touching way in which it affected the two of them too.
I also kind of thought Mal, like, I mean, she's a part of his crew. I mean, whether he wanted her there or not originally, she's become a part of the crew and has become important to not, you know, not only Simon, her brother, but Kaylee and other, you know, other people, Wash and Zoe, feel for her and, you know that she's not, you know, she's a victim and that this wasn't something she chose. So I do feel like he kind of had a little bit of guilt too. Like, maybe I shouldn't have, you know, treated her quite the way we did. Maybe, you know, we all should have watched what we said and been a little more careful.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I know the one big thing that I did like, and I was like, yay, Simon, was when, you know, Early is going, you know, he finally figures out where she is and he's like, all right, I'm coming. And Simon takes him on not once, and he gets shot taking him on. But then, you know, Early goes down, leaves the cockpit and is walking down that main hallway. And Simon launches himself at him through the doorway there again. And I just thought, like, wow, like, so much more physically active, so much more probably accurate than he would have been a couple months ago. I mean, particularly that episode where they got kidnapped and he was like the town doctor and he was like a little more passive. Like, he was just like, I am going to fight you until the end. I was like, go, Simon. I love that. I love that scene.
You can also totally tell he's totally a little bit more muscly too. He's been working out. I've noticed. I don't know if you guys have.
Yeah, definitely. Sean Moore was definitely like, you know, hitting the weights there. Like, definitely. Absolutely. Yeah, you know, seriously, like, I was just like, you wonder sometimes too, did they know they were filming that scene, so they decided to get a little more toned up because they knew the shirt was coming off? Or, you know, was he just like, yeah, I better work at this? So I don't know. But he was looking good. He was definitely looking good. So Early gets outside and he gets out there and there's Mal, and Mal's like, yep, double cross, chucks him off. He goes spinning out into space. And then River comes down and she, you know, has control of the suit and floats down, and Mal catches her and she says, you know, permission to come aboard, Captain. And he's like, yep. I just love that ending. Like, it's just like so like sweet. I felt like the two of them had a really good understanding of each other at that point. What did you guys think about that kind of little reunion there?
That was so adorable. It's like they finally had an understanding that she's not crazy and that she can do all this. And he's just like, I'm sorry. Like, you can tell, like, he's just like, he felt so bad for thinking all the things he did during this episode. So I love that line.
Agreed. I just loved watching her just float down into his arms. It was so cute. And just, I was happy to see them have a really cute little moment, because they haven't really been able to. And with all the craziness going on, they've just, you know, been kind of at each other's throats a little bit. You know, River not so much, but he hasn't trusted her. So it was really cute to see them have a moment.
Yeah, the episode where they get kidnapped at the end and Simon and Mal say, you know, why did you come back? And Mal says that you're part of my crew. So that's when Simon really becomes part of the crew. Then I think this is really when River becomes part of the crew, having taken charge herself.
Yeah, definitely. I think you're definitely right with that. So what happens is, so we then see what I would call like a slice of life afterwards. You know, we see where everybody is post this happening, and we're getting little glimpses of each one of them interacting. And we finally hone in on Kaylee and River playing jacks on the floor. And you can see that their friendship is rekindled. And, you know, Kaylee asks River, you know, you think you're going to win? That's a pretty tall order. And she's like, you know, yeah, I'm going to take on the world, you know. And she's holding up the globe, which is the ball that they're playing jacks with, and she's eyeing it. And it's this great visual, which to me, like, I know we were talking about like finale episode or not finale episode. I have problems with them not having ended on that. Like, to me, that would have been such the great ending. And instead, the last shot is Early spinning out into space, just going like, yep. And then that's,
yeah,
the blackout.
That was so pointless. Oh my goodness.
Did anybody else want like Kaylee and River to be like the final shot of the episode?
Yes. Oh my goodness. It's like Merlin all over again for the series finale.
I get the impression, though, that they might have been setting him up to come back had they had more episodes. So they were trying to remind the audience that, no, we didn't like take his helmet off, so he's not dead yet. So just remember, he could still be there.
Yeah, and didn't Mal say something like, well, he has like a 0.5% chance or something? Like,
yeah, like he's not guaranteed dead. Yeah, yeah.
Right, yeah. So I feel like maybe they were kind of setting it up to have him miraculously saved and him reappear at some point too. Yeah, I totally see that.
Okay, before we get into our favorite lines and favorite scenes, anybody have anything else they want to bring up?
Oh, can I just say that if Early was a bounty hunter, why was he only after River when both he, River and Simon had bounties on their heads? Wouldn't he yes. want the maximum amount of money out of that job?
That confused me as well. I was like, wait. Well, and then he said something about, like, Simon not needing to be alive when he turned him in. So I was just like, wait, are you after him? Because it doesn't seem like you're after him at all.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's in it for the money. And I guess the bigger money would obviously be on River. But, yeah, why wouldn't you just take both? That's a good question.
They were both right there. He could have pretty easily taken both of them and doubled his reward.
The only thing I was thinking was that he was playing Simon, like, I'm not taking you, like, I'm just here for your sister, and then he was gonna basically just kind of take Simon too, but then towards the end, he just leaves Simon behind, and so I was like, okay, now I'm really confused, because he's worth money, like, why wouldn't you take him? So yeah, no, I definitely see what you mean.
Why don't we talk about some of our favorite lines and favorite scenes from this episode? This one wasn't quite so much as I would say like a quippy joke machine kind of episode as some of them are, but there are still a bunch that are really, really good. I know for me, one of my very favorite lines is out of Simon, and it's when Early is asking, well, where is she? You know, we've combed this entire ship. Where the hell is she? And Simon says, I can't keep track of her when she's not incorporeally possessing a spaceship. Don't look at me. And I just love the snarky look on his face. It was just like you wanted him to say, welcome to my world, you know? So that's why I like that one so much.
My favorite line would definitely be when Mal was talking to Simon. And, like, Simon was trying to explain all the things that were happening with River because it happened right after they took the gun from her. And Mal was just like, if I wanted medical jargon, I'd talk to a doctor. And Simon just looks at him like, you are talking to a doctor. I love that line. He's just like really?
My favorite was when they're having the round table discussion and Mal brings up the idea that River might be psychic. And Wash says, psychic, though? That sounds like something out of science fiction. And Zoe just deadpans, you live on a spaceship, dear.
I love that one. Oh my gosh.
I love that too, because I'm like, so when you're in space, so what does science fiction entail exactly?
Exactly.
And my favorite is from the end when Zoe's sewing up Simon's bullet wound and Wash says, can I mop your brow? I'm at the ready with the fearsome brow mopping. I just loved it. It's so washed. He has nothing else to do, so he's just going to stand there with a washcloth like, I'm ready to help whenever you need
it. Yep. I'm here, ready to go any second now. Let's talk about favorite scenes here, too. I know for me, my favorite scene is really Simon and Early in that control room where Simon's like, yep, what you going to do about it, buddy? You know, he's just sitting there just, you know, being like, hey, you know, you're the one who invaded our ship. You got the great plans. You figure it out. I just love his whole attitude in that entire scene.
I completely
agree.
How could
you not love that scene? Yeah.
Right? Simon in that scene's just perfect. But my
sister's
my...
the ship. We had a difficult childhood.
That was so perfect. Yeah. My favorite scene is actually with River and Kaylee at the very end, right before they go off to show Earl doing his thing. I liked it when they're playing Jax, and it was so cute. Like they're finally back together again, you know? And it's adorable. So
my favorite is after their meeting and Simon kind of storms off upset that everyone's, you know, turning on River, and Kaylee follows him, and they're having this sweet little scene in the hallway where Kaylee's trying to kind of pull out from Simon that there's actually something good about being on the ship in the middle of space, you know, obviously her. And he finally seems to get it. Like, she's been trying to get this out of him for a while, like over and over, and he just doesn't get it. And
then Shepherd's book comes and ruins it, the whole thing.
There's that moment where he reaches for her hair and you're like, you get it. finally, you too. I'm so happy. And then it gets interrupted.
Oh, man. I hate Shepard so for sweet. That. It's another reason to hate Shepard book.
Well, and of, like, the, you know, of the unrequited couples, like, Mal and Inara have kissed, even though Mal wasn't conscious at the time. You know, you have, obviously, clearly Zoe and Wash have their moments, and it's just Simon and Kaylee in the series who just never have anything, any contact that you're just like, no! You just, yeah, you're left hanging, which is so sad. So sad.
And it's even worse when they tease you about it, and you know that that's the point they're trying to get across, and you're like, come on, like, you can't do that to me. My favorite scene is also a Kaylee and Simon scene, but it's the one from the beginning. I am a sucker for, like, a moment where everything is normal, and you see two characters just being, like, relaxed and in their element, and I feel like that's exactly what that was just Kaylee and Simon hanging out, just her, you know, sitting on the, it was like a couch or something, and they were just chilling and talking about, you know, their childhood and all the things that they miss and all of that sort of stuff. I love that little scene.
And she had her feet in his lap. Oh, yeah. It's so cute.
Totally adorable.
Yeah, very cute. Very, very cute. I just wanted to mention one of the sort of fun trivia facts from this episode before we get into our feedback. And there is some other trivia that I think is going to come up with the feedback. But I always love when you see movie mistakes, you know, or things that happen. You know, some things are kind of inevitable. Like, if people are eating in a scene, frequently you can see continuity problems, like, particularly in their food. Like, you'll notice that the food in front of them will change size and shape during an episode if they had to shoot it over the course of different days, that they can't get the food to look exactly the same. Or another one, too, some of the times is, like, you know, people's hair, particularly women with long hair. Sometimes it'll be tucked behind their ears. Sometimes it'll be in front of their face. And sometimes between shots, you'll see their hair keep shifting. And it's all when they shot things. And even sometimes, like, they'll talk about crew errors, that you'll end up seeing, like, the boom mic at the top slightly in frame. Or sometimes if there are very highly reflective surfaces, you'll see, like, in car doors, like, sometimes you can see a little bit of the cameras. And I don't blame people too much on things like reflective things. But there are moments when things get left in frame and you're going, really? One of the more hilarious errors of Joss Whedon, period, is the fact that there is a really huge goof in this. In the scene where Kaylee is explaining about how, you know, River actually did fire a gun, at the very conclusion of that scene, the shot pans down from the entire crew in the kitchen to down below in the innards of the ship. And just before it does this pan down, if you look to the far left, you can see a crew member reading a binder bent over a counter who clearly didn't realize he was in the shot. And for whatever reason in the editing room, this dude got left in the shot. So I have a screen cap of it, which we will put in the show notes. And you can see there's some random guy reading a binder on Serenity in this episode, which is kind of a hysterical continuity error.
I love him.
I totally
like that
didn't
happens.
Notice, but that
I
is
didn't
hilarious.
Either.
Me neither.
It's funny.
Yeah, it's like, who's that blonde dude on the binder? Oh, you know, it's really funny. So we'll totally put a screen cap of it in the show notes, because it's really hilarious. It's like, oh my god, could he not have been, like, I don't know if he was monitoring the script to make sure they didn't go off the lines or what, but I was like, why in the hell was he in frame? I don't know. So it's one of those weird errors.
We have some feedback from Cassandra on the Hypeable post, and she says, wow, I just watched Objects in Space. What a frustrating episode to end the series on. So many questions raised. Now I understand why people were so eager for the movie. I hope the discussion comments on the oddity of the bounty hunter being named for a Confederate general.
Yeah, Jubal Early was actually a general in the Confederate Army, as in the American Civil War. I don't know if, like, people who are listening to our podcast who aren't U.S. citizens understand what that would be. But in any case, he would have been a general in the Southern Army on the losing side of the American Civil War. So it is a little weird that Joss Whedon decided to name this bounty hunter after Jubal Early, who was not a bounty hunter at all. He was actually a fairly successful general. But who he actually did in real life model the character on was the character of Boba Fett from the Star Wars series. And you can see it even a little bit in sort of the styling that Early is wearing. I mean, he's wearing like the red leather, but it's kind of like a suit. I mean, it doesn't give him lots of personality, just like in the Star Wars series. Like Boba Fett, you don't see him until the 1990s movies are a couple episodes in. You don't even have the first clue of what the guy looks like. You just sort of know he's the bounty hunter out for Han Solo. So that's the modeling on this particular character.
And here I thought Boba Fett was a Pokemon. I was like, he did it after a Pokemon?
Oh, my God. You and that's Andrew the, on your Star Wars history. Oh, my God.
Oh, it does make sense, though. If you're going to model your bounty hunter, your interspace bounty hunter, who else would you model it after but Boba Fett? Like, that makes total sense.
Yeah, I looked up Jubal Early on Wikipedia after reading this comment because I had no idea. And it talks about how he's really famous for being a proponent of the lost cause of the Confederacy, which is about like a philosophy of how the Southerners were really certain that their rich military tradition was going to help them win the Civil War. And then when it didn't, they were looking for outside factors that made them lose, like overwhelming numbers. So it's interesting that that would be the association.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, I feel like he just sort of picked up a book and said, oh, that seems like a good name. It's weird because it doesn't really, like, you can't really find a parallel with Jubal Early being a bounty hunter. And I think it's a stretch to try to cross-apply some of who he was to the episode. So I don't know if anybody else has any interesting Jubal Early parallels. Get in touch with us. Maybe you're seeing something we're missing. In any case, like I mentioned at the outset of this episode, the next time you hear from us, we will be discussing the Serenity movie, which is obviously a longer movie, and it will definitely wrap up a bunch of the loose ends that we have here. So maybe now is a good time to talk. Kyle, what is the loose end of this series that you want to see wrapped up in the Serenity movie?
Oh, that's such a hard question. Jesus. I think I just want, it's a tie. It's a tie between Inara and Mel, and if Shepherd Book is really as evil as I think he is.
Cool. How about, Caitlin and Kristen? I mean, I know some of you guys have seen things before or whatever, but at this point, like, what had you wanted, you know, going into the movie?
Well, I've seen the movie, but I'll just say that the most interesting plot line for me at this point is 2x2 Hands of Blue. Who are those guys?
Yeah, I have not seen the movie. And the thing I am most looking forward to is along the same lines as Caitlin. I want to know a little more about the Alliance. Like, they've been set up as this, you know, these bad guys, these overwhelming bad guys who are just kind of out there, you know, doing their thing. And we haven't really seen a lot of them. So I'm really interested to kind of get a better glimpse of what they're doing that is, you know, that the Serenity crew is, you know, fighting against. I kind of want to see all of that.
I know for me, at the point at which, you know, I tuned into the series and everything, for me, I really wanted just resolution to Simon and Kaylee, because I was originally like this huge Simon and Kaylee shipper, and I moved a little more onto Mal and Inara, but initially I was very Simon and Kaylee, so I really wanted some sort of resolution to that. And then the other thing that I really wanted to know was, what was the purpose of them messing with River? Like, what was the goal? Was she supposed to be a weapon? Was, you know, what's the end game there of what they did to River? Was she the only person they experimented on in this fashion? What was the goal? What was the end game? And why so badly do they need her back? And they seem to need her back alive. So why do they need her back alive? That was my big question going into the movie. So, like we said, lots of questions. A lot of what we discussed will be answered in the movie. We'll get to see what's what. So hopefully you will watch it along with us if you've been with us the whole time and see how this series actually finally wraps itself up in a movie. So again, just to give you a brief recap on how to get in touch with us, you can send us an email at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can send us a tweet at re_watchable, or you can post over on the podcast section on hypable.com. So until you join us again the next time, I'm Laura.
I'm Caitlin.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Kyle.
Thanks for listening, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.